It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tuesday is always a chance to breathe a little bit coming out of the football weekend. And then in October, it's a different animal because there's baseball every day. And coming up on Wednesday, we've got a quadruple header yet again. If you haven't seen the schedule, well, it is a doozy. We've got four games. The two earlies are from Detroit and New York, Queens, where you've got the Tigers and the Mets hosting. And then the later games, though they're all spaced 2 hours apart, the Royals and the Padres are the host sites. Really neat to think about the Tigers and the Royals hosting playoff games for the first time in roughly a decade. The Mets, they've been in the playoffs. They've had some games, but against Philadelphia, completely different because it's their arch rival. And boy, a lot of smack talk back and forth. So those two series, the Phillies-Mets and then Padres-Dodgers, have plenty of chirping and extracurricular activity, if you will. And right now, super tight. As we told you on last night's show, first time since 1995 that all four division series were tied at one after the first couple games. We've also got to get into this Jets firing. You'll hear from Woody Johnson, as well as from the new interim head coach, the DC who's been promoted, Jeff Ulbrich. And Drake May will be starting week 6 for the New England Patriots. And so we've had another quarterback change. We've got the latest on Derek Carr and his injury from Monday night. So a lot to get to still. The WNBA finals are set. No Caitlin Clark. She's busy golfing for reals in Annika Sorenstam's pro-am. She's going to go ahead and play in a pro tournament. But it is still two worthy teams that will compete for the title. Coming up next hour, your chance to ask Amy anything. So get your questions in to our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Also vote for TD of the Week because it's tight. And so we have a lot of goodies to help you get through the hump show. 855-212-4227. But first, it was really cool to catch up with the latest Hall of Famer to grace the airwaves on After Hours. Had a chance to connect with 2019 inductee Champ Bailey, who played for both Washington and Denver, but went in as a Bronco after his decade there in the Mile High City. And he was back for alumni weekend and was sporting the gold jacket and welcoming new members of the Hall of Fame. I got connected with him through an agency that wanted to highlight his work with a particular cancer center in his hometown of Atlanta. So I had a chance to talk to him a few hours ago on Tuesday afternoon, of course, having to start with his activities over the weekend. Hall of Fame quarterback Champ Bailey sporting that gold jacket in Denver. What was it like to be back in the Mile High City for alumni weekend, Champ?
It was great. You know, since the Penta Group took over, you know, they've really made an effort to get the alumni back in town, you know, and they do a really good job, very hospitable. I mean, it feels like, you know, it feels like family. So that's the type of organizations you want to be a part of. And fortunate enough, man, I had a good career there, and now I can go back and kind of rub elbows with the younger group and also management. It's even more intentionally than I did in the past. You know, there's a lot to be had. It's a bright future in Denver, and you know, it's good to be in town when they beat the Raiders as well.
There are obviously new Hall of Famers that are part of the Broncos family since you had your moment in 2019. What's it like to be part of that fraternity with the Gold Jackets?
Man, it's amazing. You know, when I got to Denver, John Elway went into the Hall of Fame that year, and he was the first Bronco to go into the Hall of Fame. And since then, I can't even remember what number we're at now. But all my teammates, I mean, even Peyton and Brian Dawkins and John Lynch, you know, guys who played elsewhere, but, you know, they're still part of this family. And it's amazing. Again, this franchise, you know, it's so underrated. You look at the NFC East and that story division. There's a lot of good history there. But when you talk about what it means in the Rocky Mountain region, you know, the Broncos mean, you couldn't ask for a better host or a team to root for.
I've heard stories about the crowds there in Denver. I've seen the Broncos play in other stadiums elsewhere around the country, but not ever in the Mile High City. So what is that fan base and that crowd like when it's amped up?
It's one of the best. I think people need to come to the Mile High and just experience it. You have the mountains in the backdrop. I mean, the atmosphere is crazy. As you said, the weather was nice this weekend. So I would recommend everybody come and get a feel for it. It's amazing. I mean, they're the loudest in the league, I believe, and the rowdiest, and they definitely travel well. So if you ever had a game and we're winning late, you're going to know where the Broncos fans are.
Champ Bailey is a Pro Football Hall of Famer sporting that gold jacket at Alumni Weekend in Denver. A lot of fun to see all the photos, including the ones with Pat Surtain. So you exchange jerseys with him before the game, and then he goes out and almost immediately has a 100-yard pick six. Champ, what was that moment like with Pat?
Great moment. We didn't anticipate it would work out so well. Because, you know, I just figured, you know, we exchanged jerseys, but at the same time, I didn't know how we were going to do it exactly. And it just worked out well. You know, he had his and I had mine. He signed in his jersey. It's great, man. And I couldn't be more proud of a player right now than I am of him, because I had lofty expectations for him when he came out. Yes, I was on the record saying he could be a perennial Pro Bowler. And also a Hall of Famer. And I still believe that, you know, barring anything bad happen health-wise, this kid is going to have a bright career, hopefully better than mine. He is everything and better than I expected. He's excelling beyond what I could have ever imagined. You don't get to being the best in the game in your first 4 or 5 years. Like, it's hard to do that. It usually takes a lot of experience. And he's carried that torch for the last 2-3 years. So, you know, that is what's so compelling to me, is how fast he got so good. I just knew he had the build and the makeup and the mindset to be that. I just didn't know it would happen so fast.
And right now on his shoulders as the veteran, obviously one of the highest paid at his position, there's been so much transition for the Broncos. How important is it to have a guy who's been there for a few years and can help with the consistency?
It helps a lot. You can't understate guys like himself, Courtland Sutton, who we don't talk about a lot because he's had the injuries late in his career, but they're such steady voices and workaholic that's in that locker room. And those young guys gravitate towards that. You know, they're so impressionable at that stage of their career. They need those type of veterans to lead. So the Broncos are lucky because the coaches and front office can't do anything about what's going on the field, except right. Try to put players out there that need to be out there. But it's how they work that's really going to resonate, what team they're going to be. That's what's going to determine how good this team is.
What do you see with the Broncos and the current leadership? You mentioned the ownership, but what about the coaching staff and the players that tells you maybe now they're on the right track?
Well, wins obviously show that you're what you're capable of and how steady you play. But, I mean, Sean Payton's a Super Bowl champion, so we know we got a winning leader when it comes to voice in the locker room. it's just now, you know, making that trickle down to the 53rd man. Like, you have to have everybody on the same page. And when one of those young guys is your quarterback, it helps when he has some maturity about him, right? Like, that really helps when you have a young quarterback that needs great players around him to succeed. And they're showing, okay, we put him in position to win. We don't make it hard for him. But at the same time, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes that hurts the team. And that shows a lot of maturity, because there's a lot of young quarterbacks around the league forcing the issue, and he's not one of them.
Hall of Fame cornerback Champ Bailey is with us, fresh off Denver's alumni weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, now the Broncos, with three straight wins, are above 500. Champ, what mental and physical skills best equip cornerbacks to do their job at the highest level?
Oh, there's several things. I guess a couple things I highlighted: focus, short memory. I mean, extreme confidence in your abilities. But all that, you only build those traits by how you work. So consistency in your work is everything to help, you know, develop the right mindset to know you can go out and dominate. And it's simple as that. So how you approach every day, practice especially, with those, that level of focus and intensity, what's going to propel you to be a great player.
Who were some of the best receivers that you went toe-to-toe with in your, what was it, 15-plus years in the league, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I faced the best that ever played. So, on a consistent basis, guys like T.O., Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison, I mean, those guys are the best you'll ever see. And, you know, I had to deal with them in the prime of my career, and it was not pretty. All the time. I won some battles, but man, those guys made it hell for me. But I give them all the credit for making me who I am, because when I went against lesser guys, I was ready. But those three, man, they always top three on my list.
Are the best wide receivers, and I would say too, some of the best cornerbacks, always talkers?
I wouldn't say always. I mean, I think a lot of it, like Pat Surtain, we just talked about him. He's not a big talker. You know, the receivers definitely talk a lot. I mean, before, during, and after plays. I mean, I can say I didn't have to. Those three that I mentioned were probably the least talkative that I played against.
Which is interesting, because T.O. never stops talking now.
Oh, yeah. He. You know what's funny is he never really talked on the field. He talked more off the field than he did on the field. So I'll say that.
Champ Bailey giving us a few minutes here after hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a bunch of rookie quarterbacks, including Bo in Denver, but Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels for your first franchise in Washington. I mean, there's a bunch of young QBs in the league. How much does a veteran mindset or veteran experience help when you're facing a newbie who's kind of taking it all in his first season?
You try to treat them all the same. You just let the tape tell you what to expect. I never underestimate anybody, you know, because any given Sunday or whatever day of the week you're playing, like, it, you have to have a high level of focus and confidence in what you're doing. But you can't underestimate any pro player. Now, there will be some games you get a rookie and he plays like one. You know, he plays like somebody who's inexperienced, and you can frustrate him, but you have to do your job first. So I don't know anybody that I would look at and say, it's going to be a field day. No, never. I don't care who it is.
The Hall of Fame moment for you is in 2019. I remember even being on the air right after that and playing some of the clips from your induction speech. But it's now been 5 years, Champ. What are some of the more vivid memories still about that day?
Man, I tell you what, I was exhausted. It was just a lot of partying, a lot of, you know, just talking and this event, that event. As exciting as you are, that's really what gets you through. It's the excitement of going in, because there's a lot of things to do. And I just remember taking a moment. Now, I appreciate everything that happened that week. But, man, I just remember towards the end, I just had a moment where I was just like, man, I'm exhausted. My feet were hurting. I didn't know. It was just I knew that I was a retired athlete at that very moment. Like, this is not how you're supposed to feel.
You started in Washington. They're seemingly on the right track, the franchise that's now the Commanders. When teams change coaches and change leadership, what's that like for a locker room?
You know, it's rejuvenating, you know, especially if you're a holdover, right? If you know you got a new regime coming in, it's rejuvenating, you know, and they just recently changed ownership as well. So
yes.
You have a lot of newness and excitement, and that fan base, more than anything, deserves that. But the funny thing about having new coaches and new players is not only are you trying to figure out who you are and what you want to be, it's everybody else around the league is trying to figure out who you are and then how to stop you. You know, at some point, everybody will understand who the identity of the Redskins, or the Commanders now, sorry. Everybody will understand who they are. They'll understand themselves, but can they push through that, being that you walk in the door with an X on your back now that everybody see, okay, you got a young, good rookie quarterback, defense is playing well, you know, they're making plays. Brian Robinson looks like the best back in the league right now. So you have all these things going, but can you take notice? So can they weather that storm when that pressure really builds? I'm looking forward to those moments. I'll be out there in a couple of weeks to watch them in place when Darryl Green gets his jersey retired. So looking forward to seeing them win when I go out there.
Awesome. Champ Bailey is with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. So before you got into the NFL, you're at Georgia, consensus All-American, and they're the two-time defending national champs. And I was thinking about it, the Georgia-Alabama rivalry and the insane atmosphere for that game just a couple weeks ago versus what we might see in the NFL with, say, Broncos and Raiders. How do rivalries compare at the two levels?
Ooh, it's different. I think what's different about college is it's the experience before you get to the league, right? Like, and there's a lot of guys that don't make it to the league. Nobody can say they went through the Raiders or the Broncos organization, you know, like an everyday person. But everybody can say that they went to Georgia, Bama. So that link to that alma mater or that school, it's deeper than the NFL. Going to any locker room every Saturday and just watch who guys cheer for and how competitive it is about your school. We would have a lot of, you know, back and forth about our school, but you know, it's just different. It's different. Now, I respect the rivalries at the NFL level, but there's nothing like college, nothing like it.
So back-to-back national championships, and yet college football's changed so much where there's now NIL. We hear about some guys making $7, $8 million a year in, you know, various ways. Pretty soon they'll be paid to play. When you look back at college football, do you even recognize what it looks like now?
From a competitive standpoint, yes. I mean, of course, things have changed a little, you know, as far as we used to be more run-heavy back then. But now it's a little bit of everything. But what I love about it is the players are starting to, you know, have a little leverage, I would say. You know, they do deserve to be paid. You know, they just got to figure out the right structure for it. Because right now it's all over the place, and that's just not fair to the coaches that are recruiting or the kids that are being recruited. So, you know, they got to figure that part out. But I think the idea of where we're going is the right way.
Mm. It definitely is the wild, wild west at this point. So, they need to figure out how they're going to structure it and monitor it. When you're in Atlanta, your work with the Aflac Cancer Center at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, why is this important to you, Champ?
Personally, I've had experiences in my family, my dad and my brother having cancer, which is one thing. But even on top of that, you know, visiting their blood disorder center, at the Children's Hospital, it made sense to me because even as a black man, sickle cell is preventable. And when you hear that people have it and you know that it's preventable, it's a little upsetting because, you know, there's a lot of things that are done around a lot of diseases. And this one is actually preventable, right? So why aren't we putting more effort to eradicate sickle cell and make sure that people are aware when they have the trait or not? I just wanted to put a voice behind that, you know, partner with Aflac, who's been doing the work all these decades. I mean, they're the leaders in this space of how to do this properly. So partnering with them was a no-brainer. I just want to see where we can go from here and, you know, continue to do the work. Like I said, as long as this is preventable and we're on our way there and it hasn't been prevented, I mean, there's people getting it every day. So we still have work to do. So I just want to continue those partnerships and make sure that, you know, we're all chipping in and doing the good work trying to make this right.
Families who have children battling cancer and other tough diseases, that's a different kind of strength. What type of impact do these children have on you when you have the chance to interact with them?
Perspective, man. You think you're dealing with issues until you walk in there and see a young kid that deserves to be outside playing and having fun and living a normal, healthy life is dealing with some illness that they didn't wish upon themselves and nobody else did. It's just, it's so eye-opening and touching to see it. You can't leave that place and not want to help in some way. And that's the inspiring part about it. Like, I go in there, try to uplift them, but they give me a different perspective and mindset when I walk away about how I can help in a better way.
Hmm. Football fans there in Atlanta at the Children's Healthcare?
Yeah, a few, actually. More than you think. You know, one thing about Georgia, we love our dogs down this way. So we got plenty of dog fans all over.
Hmm. No better time of the year than when we've got college and the NFL all geared up and Pro Football Hall of Famer Champ Bailey also spending some time with the kiddos there in Atlanta when possible, which is neat. I can imagine that gives you great joy. It's wonderful to connect with you. The weekend in Denver looked amazing. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes to talk about it.
Oh, thank you, Amy. Always good.
And if you're interested in reading more or watching a video that shows off some of the work that the Aflac Cancer Center is doing, the PR agency that connected me with Champ also shared a YouTube video. And it's something, as Champ says, that gives you perspective. And I love what he had to say about sickle cell, right? The fact that it's preventable. And so if it's preventable, why isn't it eradicating the disease, or why can't it be preventable all the time? I mean, maybe that's a pie in the sky type of aspiration, but still, why not? And to hear him talk about seeing the kiddos, I've seen photos as well. Definitely check it out, because he's a Hall of Fame cornerback who loves the Denver Broncos and is still very involved in football. He's got his own foundation, but this is what he wanted to talk about. This is why he does interviews now, is to be able to highlight the Aflac Cancer Center and to be able to talk about the work that they're doing at the hospital.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Also, the kiddos who are patients there, who are fighting with a different type of strength. So find it on our show account at Amy After Hours. And of course, we'll retweet all of this as well as share this interview as part of our podcast. And while you're on our account, either there or on Facebook, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything just over an hour away. 855-212-4227. We still have baseball playoffs, so diamond drama, as I call it, as well as Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, explaining his decision to fire his head coach 5 games into the season, fresh off the London trip. And what did Aaron Rodgers have to do with it, if anything? Again, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sweeney takes off, fly ball right field. This one's deep. Going back is Brennan. He's looking up, and it's gone! Oh, man! Kerry Carpenter with 2 outs in the ninth. A 3-run bomb, and the Tigers take the lead 3-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Dickerson with the call of the, we'll just say, legendary home run for the guy they refer to as Kerry Bonds. Not because of the PEDs or the suspicions of PEDs, but because of the big bat and a massive home run as the Tigers are able to even up their series against the Guardians in the American League Division Series. And now that one will land in Comerica Park coming up on Wednesday. And how cool is it for the Tigers fans to get a game in their own building? And to a man, all the Tigers I've heard from, as well as their manager, AJ Hinch, who's managed to see a resurrection of that franchise. He's guided them to a resurrection. And of course, getting Kerry Carpenter back into the lineup in mid-August, that's really the catalyst that spurred their rally from 10 games back in the AL Central. They're excited. And I can imagine the fans are over the moon to get two games there and potentially see this series go the distance. So we know, in a tie series, very often, I mean, we're talking about 80% of the time, the winner of game 3 goes on to take it. And we now have both the Padres and the Mets, who we'll get to after the update, sitting in the catbird seat, if you will. At A-Law Radio, if you want to vote for TD of the Week or send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, also on our Facebook page. And I will absolutely make sure that producer Pete knows to check and recheck, because you guys are, let's just be fair, you're procrastinators like me, people after my own heart. And so, Pete, if you don't go back and check in the minutes before, the hour before, often people are still posting questions.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. What I usually do behind the curtain is I will...
Behind the curtain.
I will refresh right before we go on with the segment, just to make sure we get everyone's in there. And we try, like Amy said, we try to get to everybody that writes into us. And if not, Amy will try to write back to you guys.
I do. Yeah, I actually spend some time on Wednesday, usually when I wake up, although unfortunately I'm not doing great sleep right now because of the construction that's going on in our backyard. But it's better for me not to pick up the phone. I don't know if you're like this. When you wake up and maybe can't get back to sleep right now or right away, the temptation is to pick up the phone and start scrolling or see what texts you've received or emails. And then the second I start doing that, well, then it becomes infinitely harder to fall back to sleep. So I have to resist that temptation.
Yes, yes. It's a major temptation, especially when you're having problems, when you're waking up every 2 hours.
Right. 855-212-4227. Larry is in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? Long time, good. No talk. I tell you what, the baseball situation right now with the smaller teams in the Central, with the Padres and the Mets, what they're doing, it's phenomenal. And the thing about Amy, I like a lot of people too interested in baseball, but don't you think MLB wants to see the Dodgers and the Yankees in a World Series?
Well, it doesn't really matter what MLB, and I'm assuming you mean Rob Manfred and his office. It doesn't really matter what they would like to see. It matters what happens on the field. So I don't see how that's relevant, unless you're accusing them of rigging it.
Well, not rigging, and I just see, I mean, basically, you know, the bigger teams, that's, I mean, any type of sport, really, they'd rather see that. But the fan would like to see the smaller teams, don't get me wrong. Because, like, was Detroit done, how they came back really great in the Royals, and even the Padres and Mets is something, but it seems we're drawing interest, TV ratings. That's where I'm going with this.
Mm, I gotcha. Again, who cares? I mean, who cares what baseball wants to see? What matters is what happens on the field. And I think it's amazing. This is just my perspective, maybe because I've been doing this for so long. I like to see teams come back from the dead, so to speak. And I love the fact that the Tigers and the Royals and the Guardians are all still alive from one division, and that we've got some fresh blood and guys who've never been on the stage before. I would hate it if Shohei Ohtani didn't have a few more games, but you know what? He's not been a huge factor other than his home run in the opener against the Padres. He struck out three times on Tuesday, so it may be three games and out for Ohtani. But either way, the fan bases that are left, I mean, the San Diego crowd at Petco Park, incredible. I loved to see the crowds in Cleveland. Actually, not that stadium, but the old Cleveland Stadium is where I saw my first baseball game when I was 8 or 9, I think. My grandfather took me. And actually, I don't know if you remember this, Larry. You probably do. Yeah. The Midge game with Jabba Chamberlain between the Yankees and the Indians. I was at that game.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the upper deck. We could see people below us, including guys on the field like Jabba, freaking out over the Midges, but we were high enough that there were only a few up there. It wasn't nearly as bad. But yeah, that will forever be my claim to fame for Cleveland baseball. I was at the Midge game.
Well, you know something too about that? Jabba Chamberlain, he was lights out that year too, Amy.
The midges. You want to talk about rigging it? The midges, they were set loose there on the shores of Lake Erie to ruin Jabba Chamberlain.
But you know something, Amy? The Guardians, God, it'd be great here in Cleveland if, you know, the Brownies or the Guardians can win the whole thing. I mean, we had our chance in 16.
Did you say the Browns, like actual Browns?
Yeah, I mean, we would be able to celebrate here if that did happen. You know, I mean,
I can imagine. And I think there'd be a lot of fans around the country who would get on board because we do love stories like, say, Detroit Lions right now. That's a great story. The Miami Dolphins, can they ever, you know, get their act together and get back to the playoffs and win a game? So, yeah, there are great stories around the country that people can get behind. And certainly Cleveland sports, Guardians, well, Indians nearly winning it in 2016, but the Browns desperately needing to be relevant again. And I know they've come close. The expectation certainly for this season, this is not what people thought would happen.
It's very depressing right now. But I think it was great talking to you, Amy. Take care.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate you listening on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And yes, if you missed my conversation with Mary Kay Cabot, we did put that on podcast. And so it's available on both Twitter, A-Law Radio, and Facebook. I know a lot of people reacted to it. I mean, I asked her, why is Kevin Stefanski sticking with Deshaun Watson? What about Nick Chubb? How could he factor in? And what's wrong with the defense? Because this defense is supposed to be lights out, or it was last year. It was one of the best in the NFL. So why aren't we seeing more of that same defense with the teeth from a year ago? Now, they're being asked to do a lot because of the woeful ineptitude of the offense. And I'm not just making that up. The offense has fewer total yards than any other team in the NFL right now. Any other team in the NFL. They've got fewer offensive yards. And people are grousing, of course, about that guaranteed contract for Deshaun Watson. So I don't think the Browns are dead and gone and buried 6 feet under. But according to Mary Kay, the spirit inside the facilities is not all sunshine and roses, obviously, but the hope is maybe stymied a bit. And so I encourage you to go and listen. Lots of questions coming in for Ask Amy Anything. Good votes for TD of the week, both of those at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page. So we still have Mets and Phillies to get to, and awesome to see the Florida Panthers raise their championship banner after winning the Stanley Cup. It's just a few short months ago, and it feels like forever ago that they were the last team standing. Also, did you see, for the first time in the history of the NHL, there is a female assistant coach. You should get to know her name. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz. Yes, Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Let's begin with the baseball playoffs.
3-2. Suarez delivers. Luck swings and misses. Strike three. Suarez and the Padres have beat LA, and they take a 2-1 lead in the National League Division Series.
Jesse Agler with the call on Padres Radio. The Padres win game 3-6-5. They take that 2-1 series lead. Game 4 is Wednesday. Now to New York and Mets Phillies game 3.
First pitch on the way. And high in the air to right field, pretty deep. Castellanos back at the track, at the wall, and it's gone! He hit it off the facing of the second deck, the Coca-Cola corner. Another opposite field home run for Pete Alonso. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0.
That was Howie Rose on Mets Radio. Mets beat the Phillies 7-2. They take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 of that series also on Wednesday. From the NFL, the Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh. They named defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich as the interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Also from the NFL, the Patriots will reportedly start rookie quarterback Drake May on Sunday against the Texans. And Saints quarterback Derek Carr reportedly suffered an oblique injury during Monday's loss to the Chiefs, and he is expected to miss multiple weeks of action. Opening night in the National Hockey League, in their first ever game, the Utah Hockey Club beat the Blackhawks 5-2. Earlier, the Florida Panthers raised their Stanley Cup banner. Then they went out and beat the Bruins 6-4 behind two goals from Sam Bennett. And the triple header on opening night started with the Blues beating the Kraken by a score of 3-2. Also from the NHL, the Panthers and forward Carter Verhaeghe have agreed on an 8-year contract extension. Now to the WNBA semifinals, Game 5 in Minnesota, the Lynx over the Sun, 88-77. Minnesota wins the series 3-2, and they advance to meet the New York Liberty in the WNBA Finals. Game 1 between the Liberty and the Lynx set for Thursday night in New York at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
First pitch on the way. High in the air to right field, pretty deep. Castellanos back at the track, at the wall, and it's gone! He hit it off the facing of the second deck, the Coca-Cola corner. Another opposite field home run for Pete Alonso. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0.
2-1. Winker hits a high drive, right field, toward the pole. It is gone! Second deck shot, Jesse Winker. 2-0 Mets in the fourth. Oh, did he turn on that, kept it fair, and set it out to the Coca-Cola corner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Mets Radio Network. Another couple home runs, including Pete Alonso, the polar bear. But I feel like his nickname has changed now because we are seeing more and more of the playoff pumpkin. So forget Polar Pete. It's now Pumpkin Pete. And he starts off the scoring against the Phillies in Game 3. Now, this one taking place at Citi Field. And the fact that the Mets scored early put that crowd into a frenzy. It was phenomenal to see. I've been at Citi Field when it's not been like that. I've been at Citi Field when it's been deader than a doornail. I never really understood that phrase. A doornail is, of course, it's dead, but it was never alive, so whatevs. But it was fire at Citi Field. And then in the bottom of the fourth, in a very tight matchup still, between Aaron Nola and Sean Manaea on the mound, Jesse Winker cranks another solo shot, and his was upper deck. Upper deck. if you were watching the game or listening to it on the radio, you may remember that he got the fastball he wanted. He was sitting fastball. He got the fastball he wanted the pitch before that, but missed it. Then, sitting on it again, waiting for it, was able to smash it into the upper deck. Pretty incredible. That's the one downside. If you're a flamethrower or you throw a fastball that goes 98, 99, 100, if a batter gets a hold of it, it's gone. That exit velo, it's one of the newer stats in baseball that people love. Exit velo. I mean, it's gaudy at some time. And so it's Alonso and it's Winker, and it's a 2-0 lead. But in this one, the Mets didn't leave a whole lot of room for the Phillies to get off the mat. And to get the performance they did from Sean Manaea was really impressive. In the sixth inning, it was a bases clearing? It was a two-run double. And then Alonso gets thrown out at home, right? So there were a couple of guys that came across the plate on Starling Marte's big hit. But then last guy, slow guy, Pumpkin Pete, he gets tagged out at home. And he was out by a mile. So there was no, he didn't even bother to slide. He was out by a mile. But Manaea didn't need much more run support.
Manaea will try again. Slow wind up, high kick, 0-2. Got him swinging, sweeper down and in. Seven shutty for Sean Manaea. A 1-2-3 seventh inning.
So Sean Manaea goes after the biggest guns on the Phillies roster. Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos. Remember, they did so much damage in game number two. And in the sixth inning, he's able to get them with a strikeout and a double play. Castellanos lines into a double play. This is with two guys on. So even the times that he did get into a little bit of trouble, he was able to work his way out. And Pete is correcting me about the Pete Alonso tag out of the plate was a different inning.
It was during the Iglesias RBI.
There was a lot of traffic on the base paths.
That's when he got tagged out at home.
Yeah, there were very few standard three up, three down innings for the Mets when they were batting. They scored in the second on the one home run, and then in the fourth again on a home run, two in the sixth, two in the seventh, another in the eighth. So this is a lot of traffic against Phillies pitching. And Nola wasn't terrible. He really wasn't. But when he tired and when he was at the end of his start, had a few guys on, a couple of them via walk, right? So in the sixth inning, you get a single to start out, but then a pair of walks that put the bases full. And this is still a 2-0 game, and Nola's still on the mound. And then there's an Iglesias fielder's choice where even with, so this was actually really impressive, even with a bobble, they're able to get the runner at home plate, the force at home plate. So bases are still loaded. Now there's one out. They get Winker to fly out, and then Starling Marte is able to single in at the end of the sixth that scores two runs. It's later in the seventh, so it's an inning later when Alonso gets tagged out at home, and that was Iglesias coming through. So this is really, other than the couple home runs, and those were impressive, but nobody on base. The rest of the runs generated by them stringing hits together, taking advantages of walks. And again, more than enough for Sean Manaea, who allows a single run to the Phillies on three hits, a couple of walks in there. He goes seven, so it's a quality start, strikes out six, and only throws 91 pitches.
Pretty impressive, and especially after a couple of long innings there when they make some pitching changes and, you know, he's sitting in the dugout. But look, man, proud of him. He earned it. He deserved it. And it was a good, really good moment for him to get that standing ovation the way he did.
He got us today, beat us. Obviously, you know, we had some situations, me personally as well. Didn't come through and didn't let it happen. So just got to get him tomorrow.
The Phillies did tack on a couple of runs later. That's Bryce Harper talking about how Manaea got us. They were 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, but unable to come up with the big hit. And once Manaea had the lead, the full head of steam, he was good to go. Now, the team is trailing 2-1 at Citi Field for Game 4 coming up on Wednesday. And Nick Castellanos, he says Phillies will not back down.
Well, as a group, this is the closest to death we're ever going to get. So in a way, we should feel the most alive. We're only promised tomorrow. And, you know, this is what we've been working since spring training for, to have this opportunity. And it's just one more time to show out and leave everything on the field. And however the dice is going to land, it's going to land.
Phillies are a really good team. You know, sometimes, you know, the opposing team puts good swings on balls and makes good pitches. And, you know, they're in the playoffs as well. So they're going to keep fighting, and they're going to come back tomorrow and give us a great game. And, you know, we're prepared for it, and we just got to keep going.
I do love the back and forth. Castellanos is right. I wouldn't think the Mets would want this series to extend to a game 5 if they're on the brink. But it's also a shorter series. Game 7's a little different when you push a team to a brink. I mean, this is a back-and-forth affair. We know these teams know each other really well. The Mets aren't intimidated by Philadelphia no more than the Phillies are intimidated by Citi Field. So Game 5, not quite as scary on the road. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.